Hey everyone, Megan Marie here again, and we are back with the second Crystal Habit podcast. We made it through another day of E3, and I actually have the same crew as yesterday. I have Carl Stewart, once again, the global brand director for the game.
Isn't hey everybody, sorry, I'm zoned out. It's been a long day.
And we have Brian Horton, the senior art director.
Hey guys.
And again, Brent Dady, the senior brand manager.
Hello.
And we have a lot to talk about today. Hello. We have a lot to talk about today because we did a call for questions for in relation to the trailer.
I'm afraid.
Yes, I know.
I'm scared.
We hit up Tumblr and the various Tomb Raider forums and the IDOS forums and whatnot. So we're going to jump right into the questions so that we can get through as many as possible. First, we're actually going to address a bunch of topics because there were a bunch of you that had the exact same question over and over and over. So we're going to kind of address those hot topics and get them off the table before we go into individual questions. So first, voice actress. Everybody wants to know who she is.
Can't tell you right now. The proper answer is that we've only just signed this girl. I have to be very careful that I don't mention her name by mistake.
That's a girl.
It's definitely a girl.
It's a girl.
It's definitely a girl. She's definitely English, which I'm sure, obviously, there's been a lot of questions about. Oh, she sounds Australian. No, she's definitely.
That's my best
Australian.
That was really?
We're all bad at accents, Justin.
I'm from Australia.
That's
So, yeah, she's not Australian. She's not American. She is actually from the UK, which now means that I've just opened the doors for the sleuths to go taking clips of her voice and trying to decipher who she is. We will do a big reveal later in the year. Sorry, I got a bit of a cough and a sore throat, and it keeps tickling my throat. But right now, I hope you all like her for a start. She's doing a phenomenal job for us. It was a pretty tough thing to try and find the right voice because it's not just about what you hear right now, but it's about the evolution of that character throughout the entire game. So she goes through a lot of different emotions from start to finish. So trying to find the right girl has been a real task, as you're all aware. We had a lot of casting and a couple of people who very unkindly went and leaked some of the script online, which we were kind of pissed at. But what you going to do?
Them.
You know, we hunted them down. We actually hunted
Seal
them down,
six.
Knocked on their door and asked them why they did it.
You should be ashamed of yourself is what you said, right?
Yeah. I'll tell your mother.
All right.
Strong words.
I have to move us along or we'll never get through these. So, next topic. Carl, why don't you just address this one? You talked about swimming with Jeff Keighley.
Did I?
You did. Let's go with that.
I thought I talked about dinosaurs.
You did. you led with dinosaurs and then ended with swimming.
Okay, so, yeah.
Brian's shaking his head right now, by the way.
I remember that one. Okay, so one of the big things throughout this entire process, and Brian will support me and attest to this, is that we're very focused on making sure that we deliver the best possible experience in the game. And one thing we do not want to do is to shoehorn things in just for the sake of, oh, this is what she did before. We're not taking it off the table that it will never, ever happen in the franchise ever again. But for this particular experience, swimming did not play a big part, and nor did we believe we needed to put it in just for the sake of it.
And I've got a dev-centric answer to that, too.
It's too hard.
No, it's not that at all. I think we just wanted to deliver the most polished experience we could. And really, it comes down to choices that you make. And I think we have a lot of great features I think you guys are going to be really stoked about. And, you know, water is still a part of the game. You've seen wading in the game and Lars interacting with water. It just won't be the systemic swimming. But, you know, I'm injured about it as well, in a way, because I'm a big Tomb Raider fan. I wanted swimming in the
game.
Don't
blame it all on me.
It's all Carl's fault. Really.
I like your showing in the big world. It's a big word, systemic.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
Is that a big word?
All I've been saying all day is visceral.
Yeah. Visceral this, visceral
parallax.
That.
Parallaxing. Oh, that's your other big word. Parallaxing. It's awesome.
We're getting a lot of gritty also. Gritty and
gritty,
visceral.
Parallaxing.
Visceral
gritty, visceral, parallaxing.
Copyrighted. All right, here's another one. Is there a connection between the trailer music and the classic Tomb Raider theme? I get this a lot. I personally don't hear it, but I'd like you guys to just address it and get it out on the table.
I think, in a way, you know, we always look back at some of the heritage of Tomb Raider and pick out certain things that are unique and try and bring something iconic, but I don't think it was done on purpose. I think the composer who we have yet to announce, and we look forward to that day as well. We can't tell you everything right now. Come on, we got a long way to go. So I think, obviously, you know, this person who came in, did a lot of research. He's worked on some really good games and brought something very unique And it just happened to be that this was the style of audio that we believe worked for our experience. So it wasn't something that we planned, but I'm glad to think that we're all kind of on the same page, that there may be something there, iconic Tomb Raider.
I think it evokes Tomb Raider. I mean, I think it's when you listen to it, it feels Tomb Raider. And I think if people are getting that, that's just a bonus. But yeah,
I think that's kind of similar as with like her top. When you guys explained to me that her top is actually a gray color, but everybody sees it as a dark blue.
Yeah.
And it kind of mentally harkens to like the classic look to some people.
That's
so.
It was all dark blue.
I once said there was going to be no blue in the game. I literally said that to a guy. I said, there is no blue in this game. And we have tons of blue in this game.
Which is a great segue. Sorry, I just put a Ritz cracker in my mouth.
What's with you and food?
I want to have food
some
every
of
night.
Us
this
need
is,
to eat
this
food.
Is dinner. That is a great segue about blue top into the fact that you said you didn't want blue in it, which means her eyes are what color?
Brown.
There we go, people. You have it from the art director who created her.
So do we want to explain then, when there are screenshots of her looking into the mirror for the first time, why her eyes are a lighter hue?
Lighting.
Right now I'm looking at Megan's eyes, and we were in front of a yellow table, and I would say her eyes look yellow. What it is, it's the reflection of the table in your eyes. And it does. There was a reflection at one point that did give her a bluish hue to the eyes. Now, I will say the brown is a complex brown.
Mm-hmm.
A complex brown.
But it is a... It's
a systemic, visceral, complex brown.
And it parallaxes.
Oh, the light parallaxes on the table.
It is a legacy feature that you guys wanted to keep.
Part of her character. And I did say it in the game, in Game Informer, when we discussed it. She does have brown eyes.
Yes.
So there we go.
I think we're laying that to rest now. Next, what is the why is the release date so far away? Everybody, that's the one complaint that I heard over and over and over, is that fall 2012 is so far away. So do you guys want to explain why we're leading with such a long campaign here?
I think from day one, when starting this this new approach to reimagine the franchise, we believe that we could not explain, nor would we expect people to understand fully. A reimagining of the franchise in anything less than 18 months. I think it's unfair for us to sort of just throw Lara into this situation and then say, hey, there you go, we're launching the game in a few months' time, get over it, understand it. So we took it very seriously in making sure that the character arc is very important to us. This sets the foundation and the structure for the franchise going forward. So what you're seeing this far out is us basically trying to make sure that we communicate very clearly the foundation, right? Lara's just landed on this island. I need to make sure I pronounce Lara properly.
Not Lara?
No. It's not Lara. Lara.
I actually trained myself because the forums got me saying Laura because I only know Laura's in real life, and I said it, and I put a rubber band on my wrist, and I snapped myself until
it's
I said
Lara.
The
say Laura.
They do? Yeah.
They should
be
hung.
Actually, they don't. What are you talking
about?
Be shut. Yeah. Everyone knows it's Lawrence.
So anyway, getting back to it, the key thing here is that it's about a longer-term strategy of making sure that we understand that this is how Lara begins the game, and that over the course of this campaign, we'll introduce how she gets stronger and ultimately becomes that forged hero that we all want her to become in the longer term. But we have to start somewhere. You cannot communicate all of that growth in 6, 8 to 12 months, so... and also, we've got some pretty big blockbuster games coming out at the end of this year, so certainly weren't going to make a big splash with getting Tomb Raider back on the radar if we were to be aiming for October, November to start this process. So now is the best time. It's E3. The world's eyes are on us.
Awesome.
But with that said, we will probably go quiet for a few months now, so don't expect too much more for a little while. Megan?
After we just gave them all of that. So one other kind of broad thing is I actually have been getting a ton of emails about this, and also I think there might be a petition out there. Fans want to know if there will be Portuguese localization for Tomb Raider.
There's a huge rabid fan base. Here we go. If we get crowdsourcing, if we get the community to send us Portuguese subtitles, we will drop them into the end of the trailer and release them.
So I tell you what, I went to a big like retail sale Tomb Raider summit thing a couple of months ago we held in London, and we brought all the big dogs in from all around the world. And at dinner that night, I made a deal with them all that if they all flew me out to their different countries, I'd do localization. So I think the Brazilian team said there's definitely a date booked to go to São Paulo. So we'll see if that happens. But no, seriously, the big thing is that it's very early. We haven't gotten to that phase yet to actually decide on kind of who would get what. Obviously, we're committing to our standard e-figs with the possibility of a couple of additional sort of translations, whether it be VO or whether it be subtitles. But We are taking every single territory into consideration very seriously, and that means meeting with the various teams from the export market and seeing, obviously, you know, how big we can make it. But watch this space. It's just a little bit too early to be able to start confirming anything other than the standard e-fix. And let me explain
what is e-fix.
Yes.
English, French, Italian, German, Spanish, e-fix.
I had to learn that one pretty quickly. It sounded like they were talking about some sort of Fig Newton for a while there. All right.
We make biscuits.
All right, we're going to try to do some rapid-fire questions now. So, Quicks asks, well, actually, he has a statement first to compliment. He says, the 3D modeling in the Turning Point trailer is stunning, be it characters, environments, and objects. How much of the CGI trailer production will be reflected in the actual gameplay modeling in terms of level of detail, texture quality, and lighting effects? And were the actual gameplay characters based on CGI models with simplified details, or are they two different processes?
So, the short answer to that is, we inspired each other. So the Endurance boat that you saw in there, we sent them a version that we constructed, and they made their version off of ours,
mm-hmm.
and we got that back, and so we've been using and cross-blending our assets. Same thing goes with all the assets that we use in the trailer. We would send them our initial versions, our game versions, and they would up-res them. Obviously, this is in this current generation, we can't get up to that same level that you would have in a pre-rendered movie. But I think that the fidelity of the game is going to be very high, definitely in the top tier of the competition out there.
Great. And I do want to just mention to everybody listening that there were a ton of very technical questions and you know, how long did this process take and step-by-step questions. And we're actually in the process of working on a making of the trailer similar to what we did with Game Informer with the making of the cover, and that will debut at Game Informer within, I think, the next couple of weeks. And that will go in very in-depth into the process. So we weren't ignoring your questions. We're just saving that for a much better way to present the information.
And on top of that, in mentioning that, we did have the privilege of having Megan join us in Tokyo a couple of months ago, long before she took the opportunity to jump over the crystal, where we actually interviewed Ikemori-san and Nazue-san, two of the lead guys from VisualWorks who helped create that phenomenal trailer for us. So you'll see a little bit of insight into their process and how they really enjoyed working with us, and we enjoyed working with them.
Great. Let's see how I pronounce this one. Psycho at D asks, he actually seems to have a concern about how Lara is portrayed in the game, and he says, are you going to lose sight of Lara as a person in her own right, a strong-willed woman who does not always need a strong male lead to save her? I got a little bit worried when I saw this part in the trailer, and he's talking about the arm reaching out and saving her. So I know you guys have something to speak to in that regard.
Carl?
Brian?
All right, so just like Carl said, we're taking Lara through a character arc. And while she might not be at the beginning of this adventure, she might not have all these skills, but she still has that inner strength to survive. So when she's pulled out, I mean, she's basically drowning. There's nothing she could have done. So I don't think there's anything she could have done in that situation. But she had to jump across a boat that was crashing. How many people in that situation, if you were in that situation, could really do that? So I think there's the hint of Lara Croft is definitely absolutely evident in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the goal, to compound that what Brian said, the goal from the beginning when we all sat down and started thinking about the picture we wanted to paint was that we know a version of Lara Croft. We know what we know of how strong she's been over the years. And going back in and reimagining this character, you have to bring her back down to starting from scratch. And I know I've said it so many times and people are probably peed off when we're talking about it, the Batman and the James Bond comparisons. But really, at the early stages of the game, you have to strip that character down to see a side to her, which you would never seen before. A very sort of deep and psychological side to how we get to Lara Croft being that forged hero. And to go on that journey, you have to experience these things. We don't want to start the game with her guns a-blazing, you know, going straight in, gung-ho into situations. We need to feel a different side of her. We need to understand that, you know, it's almost like how we feel, right? We go through sort of emotions when we have loss. We go through emotions when we feel, you know, despair and loneliness, and, you know, these are all things that we want to do. And that trailer was the beginning of that process. And I think there's certain things in that maybe people felt like, you know, she should have been able to make that jump. She should have not relied on Roth, and she should have been able to take out her guns and blow a hole in that escape hatch. But this is a girl who stepped foot in this boat thinking she was going on her first adventure. She didn't think she was going to have to go through all this. So, you know, a lot of it's to do with character arc.
Great. Well, speaking of the person who rescued her, almost this is a funny one that everyone was curious about. Who saved her? Who is that arm
that is
attached to? God,
so,
I also want to ask that too.
So let's just say it's not Roth, But, you know, that is a character which, you know, we're not going to do too much detail, but we may reveal over the course of the campaign, but it's not really up for debate right now. That's just a person who happens to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Saw Lara screaming through the
porthole.
So no Big Geeks Loose have done that right now. Sorry.
Okay. Mickey asks, who composed the music? Everybody really wants to know that. And I don't even know if this is supposed to be some sort of like leet speak, but H4RR7H asks, any word on whether or not this will be the first Tomb Raider 15 years to have a commercialized soundtrack release?
So two parts to that is that we're going to make a bigger announcement later in the year about the composer. So I know we've worked with some early concept work with a great guy called Alex Dmitriev, who unfortunately this piece is not a piece that he's worked on. He was phenomenal in helping us with our early stage stuff. This is a complete new composer and somebody who we've brought in to work on the game as well as this piece to make sure that everything we do is consistent. So I look forward at the end of the year to be able to help sort of shed some light on that. And tell you who he is. I'm stoked and delighted. Mm-hmm. The rest of the team are to have this person on. So I hope nobody tries to be sleuthy and pick out whether or not they can get vibes from other projects he's worked on. And I think I mentioned it to Megan the other night. I'm a huge fan of soundtracks, and I know a lot of people in the studio are. We share a lot of them between us, and what's good and what we should be listening to. And we all have our favorites. So I think it's a given that this person who we've hired to compose. Is already aware of our intentions that we would love to have a very unique, very dark and gritty, parallaxed, visceral soundtrack.
Great.
What's your favorite soundtrack?
Tron. Right now, Tron is where it's at.
That is all you play.
That is, I get.
Good one.
So I have soundtracks for my sort of moods. You know, Inception's a phenomenal.
I'm gonna go Blade Runner
and Social Network.
Vangelis.
Oh, Vangelis is old school. Yeah, that's cool.
All right, Stevo 505 asks, who wrote the script for the trailer?
It was actually myself and the scriptwriter, but I had to be very careful I didn't drop a name there. And it wasn't just all me and scriptwriter, Noah Hughes. So it was a trifecta of people who got together and brought magic to the table.
Awesome. I know a lot of people are wondering about the items on Lara's desk in the trailer. They zoomed in, identified them. Reti737 asks, with all those items on her desk, are we going to get any backstories on them? And they point out the Artemides mug, her notes, the grad photo, and evidently they think that one of the girls looks like me in the grad photo. But are we going to get any backstory on any of that?
Again, that's I feel like there's certain things have to be left a mystery until the game starts. You know, there's items on that table which are clearly evident you exactly what they are. But I think all will be revealed when we get closer to the game. Let's just say we've got some cool ideas, and we're starting early enough out to make sure that we drive some interest when the game comes out. So,
well, I also want to throw it out to the fans. I mean, they figured stuff out on their own. I mean,
it's awesome.
As soon
the
as
coordinates
it hit,
on the paper and that kind of
you
stuff.
You guys are sharp, and I think it's one of the great things about Tomb Raider is we throw stuff out there, and you guys come back with like, I bet it's this, I bet it's that, and sometimes it can be correct, and you guys did a great job.
All right, this is another really popular one that Sharkblade asks. Who's the famous explorer that Laura mentioned at the beginning of the trailer?
So we've been talking briefly about inspirations that we've had from many different sides, from movies to TV shows to video games. And a lot of it's about real life as well. You know, there's famous explorers who've gone above and beyond in search of mystery and trying to make a name for themselves. And you know, there's a couple that I'm very fond of myself, and certainly one of them, which is was something that Tim Longo, when he was creative director on the title, introduced me to, and he's kind of stuck with me all the way through. And Tim had sort of felt like, you know, the character of Ernest Shackleton was somebody that would definitely have inspired somebody like Roth to become the man he is, and hence that's kind of where the name of the ship kind of came from at the end of the day. But certainly, it's not necessarily just about Ernest Shackleton in the piece. It's about just, you know, famous explorers go above and beyond, and it's not sort of, you know, who they are. It's about what they do is what defines them and what makes them.
Great. Well, we actually have a bunch more questions, but we're running low on time. I have to cut it off somewhere. I will be manning Tumblr, and I will do my best to keep answering questions there throughout the week, throughout the rest of E3. I'll you know, I'll be there all the time, actually. So we can keep trying to answer stuff there. Thank you guys for coming in and for answering the questions and for delaying your dinner again.
Thank you. And I think we're trying to get a special guest tomorrow night. I hope he comes around.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'd love to see him. It would be awesome to get him on. So I'm not going to spoil it. I'll leave that to Megan for tomorrow night. But I think that's going to be cool to get somebody pretty influential into this room.
Okay, awesome. Say goodbye, everyone.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Cheers.